Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Whole nother hour coming to you on the Michigan Talk Network. And we want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns. Mike Green and his gang, if you hear us, you can order from them. NotJustGuns.com, and they are going to have a new website coming their way in the next few weeks, and so much more going on. If you missed that in the first part of this show, it'll be up on the podcast that you can get on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. And, of course, our friends at Conquest Sense in Davidson, Michigan, makers of the VS1 and Evercalm Sense and Stick, plus a whole line of other great products. And the Evercalm, of course, you can use year-round when you're out in the woods as a cover scent. So, you know, less of you, more of them in the woods when you're out checking trail cameras or cutting lanes or whatever you're doing. So thanks to those guys for being a part of this show as well. Going to take our show international over the big pond and to the Emerald Isle. My good friend Owen O'Hagan from Scariff County Clare is joining us right now. I can't believe it's been this long, Owen. 6 years since we were there. Recording a show live and fishing on Loch Derg. How are you, sir?
I am very good. And an award-winning show.
I need to bring that up. I try and keep things humble around here, but
don't be humble when you're on radio.
You were there to witness, and when we won the award, the best in show, so to speak, from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters for our edition of Wild Ireland, which was literally recorded in front of a live audience with live music and great guests, and it kind of recapped our trip there to Ireland to go fly fishing for wild trout on Loch Derg and pike fishing. Just an incredible place to do it and to see. And we're kind of looking at trying to make our way back. That's a surprise to you. That Sarah and I were talking about this last night. And in the next year and a half, it's going to happen. So, that said,
I'd look forward to that. And all your friends here on Loch Derg would be looking forward to a return visit as well. I will note that if anybody listened to that show, that there was very little applause because everyone had their hands full of pints of Guinness.
Right.
And including our host on the night as well, who loosened up a bit as he got his fourth pint on the second half of the show.
Right. It took me three pints to get through the first hour of the show, and then the second half I was loose, and I made sure that everybody else said, hey, you know, put the pints down, you can applaud if you'd like. But it was, you know, I'll talk about that a little bit because it was in this beautiful Celtic hut. We had live Irish music. We had lilting. We had dancers. We had fantastic fresh Guinness on draft. And it was just, to me, probably the most exciting thing I've ever done in radio. I've done a lot of cool stuff in 28 years of radio, but that had to be the coolest ever.
And it was great fun as well because there were stories and laughs, and including Pádraig Giblin's phone going off in the middle of a live interview, which it always does with Pádraig. We'd be out fishing on Loch Derg for wild brown trout, and Pádraig spends more time with his phone up to his ear trying to cast at the same time. He's a very busy man, but a great friend of mine, a great friend of yours now as well, and a great friend of Wild Michigan.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, and thanks to Pádraig Giblin for all that he did. Now, the Tommy Giblin Memorial Fishing Tournament. What has been going on? Because the last time we had you on, I mean, COVID was a new thing. The pandemic was new. And in Ireland, nobody, no fishing. But there was that one guy that went on to Loch Derg.
yeah. And there's always that one guy, isn't there, Duran?
Absolutely. Wherever you go.
Rules are for breaking, they say here.
So, I mean, how have things been? I mean, have things loosened up? I mean, they had to have because, look, man, you got to get outside. You got to be a part of that beautiful stretch of water you have.
Yeah, they did. And restrictions have lifted here. our mask mandates have been lifted as well, and the same is happening in America as well, I see, in the last week or so. People are getting out into the outdoors, and with the 33,000 acres of water that Loch Derg is, it's still very empty. I was driving around, you know, that viewing point, I saw that lone fisherman the last time. I was driving past there yesterday, and I saw, again, one cruiser out on the lake. Huge body of water. Wouldn't happen in Michigan. Wouldn't happen anywhere in the States. But Loch Derg is unpressured with visitors and boats. And it has a new blue way designation, a European recognized designation, which is going to encourage people to kayak and sail and fish and swim and do all sorts of things on the water. So hopefully that's going to come bring more visitors, as well as our new greenway, which is coming around, and we'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got you a little extra time today because I really want to share what Ireland has to offer. It's not a long trip. People speak the same language. The monetary system is very similar. I mean, there is absolutely no real boundaries or barriers to say, hey, you know what? I want to go to Ireland. I want to go fishing on a lake that only sees a little bit of activity come the mayfly season.
Yeah. And as we explained in our very first interview on your show, you don't need a license either for everything. You can fish for anything but salmon without a license.
And that, I mean, look, I would have a very hard time explaining this. We have a video up on our website. If not, I'll put it back up there. But like you said, 33,000 acre lake. This is not a resort lake. There are not homes all around it. There's not, you know, crowded beaches or anything else. But around the May time, around May, when the mayfly hatches on, that's when these beautiful old wooden boats go out. People are fly fishing, and it's such an incredible time, and the trout are tremendous.
Yeah, there's some record-breaking trout out there. I think the biggest one last year caught was 9 pounds. Wow. Last May. So a 9-pound golden brown trout. Beautiful sight to see. And it was put back.
And put back too, and that's a very, very big on the catch and release over there. I mean, just I have a very hard time explaining how cool it is to be able to be fishing and literally have a castle over your back shoulder, you know, a centuries old castle. And I don't know, it's like I said, it's very difficult to describe, but the fishing is fantastic, and we have people that we can put you in contact with to do that.
Yeah, we have Black Bay you went out fishing with, and with Derg Isle Report as well. We did the pike fishing on the fly with Black Bay, and Nicola and his guys there run a private charter with fully guided service. And again, they'll pick you up at the airport and bring you. And there's an Italian chef. So if you like Italian food, you will be stuffed after a week fishing with these guys. They go out, they have marks on all the lakes where they've caught the big fish. So they know, because they do catch and release, they practice catch and release as well, that they bring you to those marks where the big fish are. And some of them are really big, up to 30, maybe 35-pound pike, voracious. And they love the lures that Nicola and the guys have.
Yeah, they have done Black Bay Lodge, Black Bay Fishing has done their research. Now, these guys are from Italy. They live in Ireland full time. Again, the food is fantastic. And the fishing we will get into even more. We just kind of want to break the ice with Owen O'Hagan calling from Scariff, County Clare, Ireland. And we will talk more about that. Fishing Ireland and what is coming for the Wild Atlantic Way here on Wild Michigan.
I still believe. Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Kind of recapturing as it's almost like 6 years to the week that we were in, off to Ireland from Michigan to Fisherman's Paradise, hanging out with our friend Owen O'Hagan and his family, who graciously put us up in their beautiful home, Para Giblin, who made a lot of this possible as well. And I want to talk about some of the things that, you know, it was more than just fishing. The fishing was the reason we were going there. But when you go, I mean, look, there's like 20 French guys that come over for a whole month, bring all their own food and everything else, and literally stay there and fish and fish and fish. But when we were in Jacko's Pub showing them fish of Michigan, there was no language barrier. Neither one of us could speak much of the other's language, but the pictures proved to be, you know, the barrier of fishing in Michigan and what they do to come there. I mean, it was such an incredible time because there is so much to do in County Clare around the area where you're at.
Yeah, we certainly filled your weekend full of activity, and Jacko's was a central part of that, and your first ever draft pint of Guinness, which you salivated over yourself and Sarah Marie, and some great music as well. Terry and Denise were there playing music for us, and we had great cracking. And what was you saying? Sweet Home Alabama, I think you sang at the end of the night.
I did. I got thrown into singing with the band, so to speak. And
Yeah. But fishing is not always just about the fishing, as I said. There's always the social side of it, and The guys like and the girls like to talk about the one that got away or the one they caught and their experiences. And that's why that interaction with the French was, it's a worldwide universal language, fishing is. An angler who has fished in Michigan will know what he needs to do in Scarif, and also what he needs to do in France as well to catch the big fish. So the tools are the same. Maybe the techniques are a little different, but the language is always the same. The ones that got away and the ones that didn't get away, and how you celebrate that over a pint of Guinness or a glass of wine or a tin of beer or going to the Lugnuts for a game of baseball or whatever.
which was one of the greatest stories ever also. You know, we had the opportunity to go over there, and we met Marco, who was the chef at Black Bay. And when we were talking about where we were from, he's like, oh, yeah, I've got family there. And I'm like, okay, sure you do. he says, I spent a summer in Lansing. I'm thinking maybe Lansing, Ohio, or Lansing, whatever. And when we're all leaving, we're like, you know, like, hey, ciao, Marco. Thank you for everything. And he says, hey, go nuts. And that's when reality hit us, that guy from Italy that was living in Ireland at the time had actually stayed in Lansing, Michigan, and been to a Lugnuts game, which was crazy.
Yeah, and I can actually say I've been there as well. It's a great, great experience. But that's the thing. It's a very, very small world we live in. And to get to Scarif from County Clare, to go out from Fisherman's Paradise or Black Bay, it's only a short hop across the Atlantic Ocean. You did it. You flew from Lansing into New York with Delta, and then Delta from New York into Shannon Airport. And I met you at the gate, and we were out in Scarif 45 minutes later.
You know, and the thing is, too, for those who have never thought about Ireland as a fishing destination, I would really, really probably beg you to reconsider, because not only is the fishing fantastic, but in that area of County Clare where you're at, there were so many things historic that lent themselves to the building and the creation of the United States. I mean, the blast furnaces we saw were, you know, I mean, you, unless you knew they were there, you wouldn't know they were there. But
a lot of people didn't know they were there for years and years and years.
But that was a huge part of building this country.
Oh, I can tell you that story, Duran. In 1633, the first blast furnace was built in Scarif in County Clare. In 1640 or so, Oliver Cromwell came from England and caused havoc throughout Ireland and ended up with people being murdered and killed and people's land being taken off them. But there was a set of English investors who had built this blast furnace in Scarif, and they said there must be easier ways of making a few pound or a few bob. And they looked over to the New World. The Pilgrim Fathers had landed in the New World in, I think, 1625, was it? If I'm not too far off my dates. And they wanted to be independent of the fraud and the king in England and the corruption that was involved in that. And they wanted to be able to practice their religion independently. But to be independent, they needed to be able to make their own pots and pans, nails, ploughs and hammers. And they couldn't do that. They had to import it from England. But the English investors, led by Richard Leader, went to America. They were asked over by Charles Winthrop, I think, who was one of the first governors of that of the Pilgrim Fathers. And he asked them to build a blast furnace for them to help them get their independence, which he did, and found the right site in Saugus outside Boston and developed the first successful ironworks in the New World, which was America. And we know that iron and steel made America great. Its origins were here in Scarif from County Clare. Historical architects and archaeologists in America have said that Saugus Ironworks was the first page of modern American history. In Scarif in County Clare, we had the authors of the first page of modern American history. Steel and iron made America great, and County Clare was responsible for that. So we can say truly that every piece of steel, every tower block, every skyscraper, every rocket that went to the moon had a piece of County Clare in it.
And that's pretty important, too. I mean, to have that kind of industry. Yeah. But what it did to the landscape, and this is one thing that we thought was really kind of strange, is like, where are all the trees? Well, you needed something to keep those blast furnaces going.
Yeah. I mean, the whole of shore, the hills around Loch Derg were covered in this ancient oak forest, which in 150 years was clear felled to make charcoal, to fuel these fires. They used to burn 24 hours a day for 11 months of the year, and it took 1 acre of timber per day for these fires to keep them going. One acre of timber per day.
Incredible.
And they didn't practice coppicing, and they clear felled all the forests. And then when they moved on, they moved to Saugus and Boston and did exactly the same, cleared all the forests around Boston as well, around Saugus.
Unbelievable.
So it wasn't a very clean industry, but it did lead to the modernization of the U.S. and the building of the railroads, and the expansion out west happened because of the ironworks that were built initially in Saugus.
That's amazing. And when we say Boston, too, I mean, the Boston in Ireland, which we did see, and it was kind of a very strange thing to see a sign that says Boston. But, I mean, look, half of New York, half of Michigan is named after places over there, in Europe. So, you know, we're going to talk more with Owen O'Hagan here on Wild Michigan. Good times getting back to Wild Ireland on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. We're talking about hunting, we're talking about fishing, you know, we're talking about the outdoors. In this segment, this hour of the show, but we're taking it in a different place just because we need that once in a while. We need to find out what else is going on, not just in Michigan, but in the world. And, of course, a number of years ago, 6 years ago, we were in Ireland fishing there on Loch Derg, a gentleman that we met and became not so much friends, but more along the lines of family with my good friend Owen O'Hagan, his wife Ruth, their daughter Grace, and Eamon, and, you know, and Brian, and Michael, and Kevin, and everybody that we met, and Parig, and just everybody. And believe me, you know, even if we only met these people once, their names and faces and what we did together have stuck with us. Matthew Solon as well is one of the first people we met outside of leaving the airport, getting into onto Loch Derg. He had just pulled in a beauty of a trout, and Matthew guides all over the world. I mean, literally all over the world, is a world-class fishing guide. And what that guy puts on his page when he's out fishing God knows where is incredible, you know, and he comes from this area. So the commonality that we all have when it comes to the outdoors is shown everywhere. And Ireland, you know, is one of those places that you really don't think of. And Owen, I am so glad that you reached out to us the way you did. Look, brother, I can say this because you are family, but someone bigger than shameless self-promotion, there is only one, and that is you, and I love you for it.
Oh, I can tell a good story.
Oh, right. Yeah, you can tell a good story and a good joke, too, as well. But those we have to save for the off-air, because I'll put you back into traction again is what will happen. But you know, with what's going on, and people, you know, look, we are evolving with new ways of seeing things, and actually sometimes even old ways via bicycle, walking, or whatever. But you have this greenway set up that is, you know, I'll let you talk about it because this is kind of your baby and something that's very big over there.
Yeah. In early 2018, I got an opportunity to pitch a Shannon Greenway to the Irish government, and our Prime Minister Leo Varadkar. I stood in front of him and did a 2-minute pitch about a 360-kilometre or 224-mile long greenway running the length of the Shannon from its source in the Pot in Cavan, it's called, all the way to Loophead, where it meets the Wild Atlantic. A walking and cycle path that would forever change the face of tourism along the Shannon, which heretofore had been kind of overlooked for people to go to the west, to go to the Cliffs of Moher, or go to the east, to go to Dublin and its environs as well. So the middle of Ireland, which has now been redesignated as Ireland's Hidden Heartlands, needed a key tourist attraction to bring people. And the first 40 kilometres of the Shannon Greenway that I proposed is now gone to design. And I was at a meeting this week where they have several proposed routes, which they're putting out feelers about for public consultation. So my dream is becoming a reality, and it will change the face of tourism, I said, but it will also lift every single one of the communities that it passes through, and will enable people to educate their children, to work at home, instead of having to emigrate to find work, like many, many millions of Irish people have done over the years, to Sydney, to Saipan, to New York, Boston, San Francisco, Los Angeles, or anywhere else in the US, and anywhere all over Europe. So we'll be able to educate our young people to stay at home, to work in tourism, and to welcome the likes of Wild Michigan to the shores of Loch Derg.
You know, and you look historically of how without Ireland, so much would not have been done without the Irish people and the tough time that not only on their own soil have they had at the hands of England, but coming over here, trying to find a place, you know, in the 19th century, getting the raw deal that the Irish did. Even though they were hardworking people, industrious people, wanting to, you know, put this country on its feet and them make a name for themselves or make a living for themselves. And just, I don't know, man, I think it's very overlooked as far as a sportsman's destination, and that's why we're trying to put it here. And when I say sportsman, it goes beyond hunting and fishing, because now the kayaking, the bicycling, that getting outdoors is really, really getting bigger and bigger than it ever has been.
It is, and the Greenway and the Blueway designation for the Shannon as well is important for that, for the water sports. It's about getting out into the outdoors. And what's good to see scenery is also good for your body and good for your mental health as well, to get out into the fresh air and see these beautiful sights. And it's encouraging not just visitors but also locals to go out and explore their locale as well, because you know well that a lot of people who live and work around bodies of water may not ever go out onto it. And it's the same true here in Scariff as well. There's lots of people who live in Scariff that have never been out on Loch Derg, and to see, they get to see videos and photographs that I will put up on social media, and that gives them a taste of it. And sometimes with this new Shannon Greenway coming, they'll want to do more of it and get to walk in fresh air with their family and friends and invite their cousins down and relations to come and explore County Clare and County Limerick and eventually the whole of the Shannon region as well, which would be great for everyone's health and everyone's wealth and everyone's welfare as well.
You know, and the one thing too, I think we've left out that is very, very important to any sportsman or a sportswoman for that matter, is Ireland, there's no mosquitoes.
There is no mosquitoes, and we don't get extremes of temperature either. It never, Loch Derg has frozen twice in 100 years. In 1963, and I think in 2018, it froze early in the year as well. But it only would only be a couple of inches thick. Not like, you couldn't go lake fishing on it because you'd sink, you'd go out, you'd break through the ice. But it never freezes too hard. It never gets so hot that you can't go out in it. There is midges, which are like tiny mosquitoes, and you get the odd bite, but they're not. It's not like mosquitoes that you'd have in water, over water in America, over still water where they'd eat you alive. These are friendly midges. Just give it the odd nip.
Well, trust me, enough for people just to go to go get away from the mosquitoes here in Michigan come July. Yeah. You know, and we talked, speaking with Owen O'Hagan here on Wild Michigan, he is in Scariff, County Clare, Ireland. The Shannon River is, I mean, a salmon run. It's, you know, Atlantic salmon, I'm assuming. But, and it's gone through some tough times, but, and the salmon have gone through some tough times in that river as well. But it looks like it's making a way back.
We had in 1926, in the formation of the Irish state, we had to get into the industrial age. And how we did that was we built our first hydroelectric station on the lower reaches of the Shannon. And that literally killed the salmon fishery overnight because a big dam in the way, as happened in America as well, stopped the salmon migrating upriver. There is a ladder in place for them, but like, unless you actually direct the salmon to the ladder and say, here, you can go up here and then you can go upstream, very few of them do. And some of them are predated on by pike as well, and who would be waiting at the foot of the ladder for them as well. So it struggled. Killaloe, where we had several whiskies one night with Cahill, you remember, Duran?
Very
that
well.
Was one of the best. It was one of the best places to go salmon fishing in Ireland before the hydroelectric dam was built, and that was stopped overnight once the water levels came up, because the wading places were gone and the fish were gone as well.
All right, Owen O'Hagan, we're going to talk more with you getting back to Wild Ireland here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Stricken with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Being brought to you by Not Just Guns and Conquest Sense. Our good friend, our brother Mark Farner, former lead singer, guitar player, and all-around great guy from the band Grand Funk Railroad, is going to be in concert in Burton, Michigan on the 28th of May. You are going to see that show, man, just because he puts on a fantastic show. And he sounds every bit as good as he does on any of those records. So, again, we want to give Mark a shout-out. He'll be at the Burton City Hall in Burton, Michigan on May 28th, 7 o'clock. And that'll be a fantastic show. And I'll probably be there for that as well because I haven't seen Mark since last summer. Talked to him, but I haven't seen him in a little bit. So definitely want to catch up with him there. Back now with Owen O'Hagan, speaking of Wild Ireland, Scariff, County Clare. Owen, you're from Dublin, a very busy, populated city in Ireland, but you found a lovely lady in a small town, and you are there. And, man, you have done a lot for that community to bring attention to it. And it still remains small.
It does. I think there's 1,000 people living in the parish, and it has grown maybe by 20 or 30 people over the last 6 years since you were here.
So I'm still going to know everybody when I get back.
You will, yeah. They'll all know you, too.
Oh, yeah, you made sure of that. That was hilarious. I didn't even know what to think. Hearing our name on the radio and seeing our faces everywhere in the pub and everywhere else, I was very shocked and pleasantly surprised. But you know, there's so much to, you know, we would love people to come fish Loch Derg, Fisherman's Paradise, or Black Bay on the pike. The pike fishing is world-class. The trout fishing is amazing. And the sites, what you have in your area, you have Castlebon, which is a beautiful medieval-like castle. That is, it's now like a place you can stay.
I can't confirm that you still can. You used to be able to stay there.
Okay.
I did Airbnb. I can't confirm they still are doing it, but it's a fantastic restored tower house. And I think maybe it's time for you to share that video we shot when you were here that time, to share it on the website and on your Facebook page again, of your trip, yourself and Sarah Marie's trip to Loch Derg, because the scenery hasn't changed whatsoever in those intervening 6 years. And if anything, it's got better. And I think that they'll get the listeners to your show will get a taste of what's available here, because it shows all your experiences for the weekend and the crack, C-R-A-I-C, that you had, both of you had here with the friendly locals. And in the pub and in the restaurants and drinking whiskey and poking big fish and just the fun. Like, there's lots to do. I recommend that if you're coming to fish in Loch Derg, you fly into Shannon Airport. American Airlines, United and Delta and Aer Lingus fly from Boston, New York and Philly, I think, into Shannon. And that's the most direct way to get in. If you fly to Dublin, it's Ireland is usually marketed with Dublin as the destination, but there's huge queues, a very busy airport, and there's people queuing for 4 hours to get through to security, or aka TSA, in Ireland at the moment. So in Shannon Airport, you park your car, you walk straight through, and you're on your plane a half an hour later.
Yeah, Shannon.
Come and go. You discovered that.
Shannon's a fantastic airport, and we had a great experience there, and the birthplace of the Irish coffee, I must add.
Which you sampled as soon as you got into the airport, you were handed one.
You couldn't make
at
this
7:30
up.
Like in the morning.
Like I was on a complete drunk run. But 7:30 in the morning, it was only a 4.5 hour, 5 hour flight. It wasn't very long at all in the grand scheme of things going to Europe. And, you know, we got there at 7:30. We were very tired because I didn't sleep very well. Here we have this beautiful coffee with Jameson hand-whipped cream that was just incredible. And Sarah, at that point, had never had an Irish coffee. And that was, we were told the story of how that was the birthplace, because there were some cold, wet travelers that had to wait, and somebody had to whip something up. And there it was. Whoever that genius was, yeah. God bless him.
Pan American used to fly flying boats into Shannon, it was into Foynes, which was on the Shannon River, just down from Shannon Airport. Foynes was the original place where, during the war, the flying boats were flying in and out. There was a lot of military personnel on board flying back and forwards from Europe during World War II. And a couple of occasions, flights were delayed or had to come back, or maybe there was an issue or something. And one time they came in very cold. So the barman that was in the bar there, he said he'd heat them up. So he put, they all wanted coffee. He said, I'll give you an extra ingredient. So he put the Jameson in along with some fresh whipped cream. And that was the day that Irish coffee was invented, which has now become world renowned and famous.
Yeah, and you can only do it with Jameson. You can't use anything else. So I'm sorry. It just doesn't
work.
Well,
you could try it with your special bottle of Middleton that you have.
Look, we're not. It'd
be terrible to really waste it on that.
We're not wasting a drop of that Middleton in coffee. No. What else is happening in your area? I mean, look, we're not far from the Cliffs of Moher, which are very famous, and the golf course, which is there as well, which is beautiful. But get there early because the wind becomes tremendous.
Well, if you're playing golf in Ireland, you're expecting the wind, and where you can play on the coast of Clare is Trump Golf. Your former president has a golf club on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean here in a place called Doon Beg. We have Dromoland Castle, which is an amazing parkland course. We have Lahinch, which is another links course, which if the wind is up, you really know you're going to play golf when you're there. But a lot of European golfers, a lot of American golfers come to play these famous Irish courses and pay big money for it, and they get escorted around maybe four golfers in a minibus going around Ireland playing golf for a couple of weeks, and that's some experience as well. And that's part of what you can do in Clare. The Cliffs of Moher there as well, but also you remember we drove through the Burn and went through that little village called Boston. The Burn is a moon-like landscape, a karst limestone landscape that has some very unique plants and flora and fauna. Which only grow on the Burn, and that's a spectacular landscape that is really unique in the world. And that's an amazing visiting. You'd spend a day walking through there as well. There's lots to see, lots to do. There's Bunratty Castle, where you can go and live, eat and drink like a king. They have these castle banquets at night time as well, and tourists love that, where you get dressed up as a king or a queen and they get to sit at the head of the table and drink mead, which is fermented honey with whiskey in it. Much like an Irish whiskey or an Irish coffee, but a little bit different.
No, I'm very fond of mead. Another one I know very well. Again, this is making me sound like I imbibe quite a bit, and I can't recall the last time I had a drink, but I know what I like, you know, and a lot of it comes from Ireland, and that's what the show's been all about, because 6 years ago we had this wonderful opportunity to go and fish over there and meet a lot of good friends, and we would like you to consider the same. Website, Owen, I probably should have mentioned this 15 times, there has to be some website that we can go to that we can put a link to so people can see for themselves. We have the video, we have the audio, but we need your website that you'd like to promote.
Well, my website is going, it's undergoing revamp at the moment, but I will direct you towards Clare Tourism website. That's www.clare.ie, and that's the official council tourism website, and there's images and videos of all of County Clare and spectacular photos and videos from all around the county.
And also, we learned that that Clare, Michigan, got its name from a surveyor that was Irish, and they changed the name from what it was because he had stated that it looked like his home in County Clare. And when you and I were traveling through there, that's a little something we learned. And I know we're up in the Clare area, and for those of you who live there and didn't know, this is your direct connection.
Well, also, we had to pay a visit to the Cops and Donuts shop in Clare, Michigan. And I met Rhino and Bubba, who are two former cops who bought, along with seven other coppers in Clare, bought this bakery that was closing down and revamped it. And they've now got a chain throughout Michigan. Is that correct?
Yeah, they do.
Cops and Donuts.
The Cops and Donuts are still there, very popular. The City Bakery in Clare, right across from the Doherty, which is a great hotel that I've actually stayed at and had lunch. You had lunch there as well.
Yeah, we did.
So there's a lot of connections between Clare, Ireland, and Clare, Michigan, which you know, you will see, believe it or not. But the one thing that I noticed. And Lansing as well, exactly. The one thing that you will never be prepared for is when you're flying in, especially in the daytime, is truly how green things are and why Ireland is called the Emerald Isle. It's incredible.
Yeah. And it is truly 40 shades of green.
All right, Owen O'Hagan here on Wild Michigan. Cue the Mark Farner music. Mark Farner's Funk Stang taking us out. He's going to be in concert in Burton coming up. Check him out at markfarner.com. And again, claire.ie. If you want to find out more about County Clare, fishing is going to get hot there. The mayfly will be starting to take over Loch Derg, and we'll have all our videos back up and all the links you need on our website. Thanks to Not Just Guns and Conquest Sense for bringing you Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.